Let's start from Pasuk Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Eilech Hachukim Yehamishpatim Asher Tishnu Lasa is the following of the Chukim and the Mishpatim which you shall guard to do Ba'aretz in the land Asher Hashem Elok Asher Nosan Hashem Elokei Avisechel L'chok L'rishta that Hashem the God of your fathers have given to you L'rishta as a inheritance. Kol hayomim, all of the days, asheratem chayim al vadam, all of the days that you are alive upon the earth. In this one pasuk, notice we have both words come together. There are two words that refer to the earth. Boirei pri ha'adamah. And boirei pri ha'adamah. Why do we make the bracha bar? There are two words for the earth, adamah and aretz. What's the difference between the two words? Yeah, you raising your hand?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Shmuel told us yesterday.
Yes.
The Eretz refers to Eretz Israel, and the Adama refers to the world. So, at that question, Borei Pri Adama, it's really, you can be anywhere in the world, you're going to make a bracha. So,
that's why we say Borei Pri Adama. Very good. Okay, very good. Okay, it's very, okay. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Parik pasik. There is no Rashi on this. Okay, there's no Rashi, but in the Targum. Targum says Ilin Kayomaya, these are the chukim he calls the Kayama, the Kiyomaya. The Hamishvatim he calls the Vidinaya, Sitrun you shall guard, the Meva to do, the Ara in the land. He's calling it the earth. The Ara, the Hava Hashem Elokah, the Avohosach, the God of your fathers have given Loch to you, Lemerita. Lemerita means to know. Lemerita is an important word. Lemerita means Yerusha. Okay, Lemerita. I'm going to see what he says here. Can you find Lemerita? Kol Yoimayu, all of the days which you are alive. The atun kayomin al ara, that you are alive on the earth. Notice, according to the Targum, it's very interesting that it's come out the same word for the word chayim and chukim. Targum opens up a whole world of interpretation. Elaine, the following are the ki yomaya. The ki yomaya is the same word as kayomin. There's no Rashi in this pasuk. The Targum over here is telling us there's a lot of symmetry in this pasuk. There's the Aretz and there is the Ho'adamah. Two words which mean almost the same thing. And then there are two words which also mean almost the same thing. Chayim and Chukim. Chukim, I mean, we would never assume there's anything in common. Chukim means, we normally associate chukim with laws which we don't know the reason. Para aduma is a choik. We don't understand the reason, but the Targum has a different understanding of the choik. A choik is kiyomaya and the dinaya. Now it's almost like, and we always talk about this in the morning. We always talk about in the morning is this very big dilemma. When do we say a halacha changes because society has changed? When do we adapt and do we say, no, this halacha is not relevant today? So we can be lenient. Are you allowed to take medication on Shabbos? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's asur. Why? Not because there's anything technically wrong. It's a takon of Chazal. Because you may come to grind up ingredients and be over on the Issur D'oraisa of Toichin. Because in ancient times, when a person would make medicine, they would take ingredients, they would take leaves, herbs, different vegetation, who knows what, and they would grind it up and they would be over and do Toichin to make medicine. Today, there is nobody that's going to take, if you're going to take an aspirin, an Advil, or any medication on Shabbos, you don't have to worry that that someone's going to go into his closet, into his refrigerator, and find some exotic ingredients to start grinding things up and making being over on Issa Deraisa of Toichin. So the whole thing is totally relevant today. Yet, just because the reason goes away today, you're not going to find any poisek that's going to tell you that you're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos if you're not a choila. If you don't really need it, if you need it, you need it. But that's a different story. But if you're not, if you don't really need it, you can get away with it. So you're not allowed to do it. Oh, but the reason doesn't apply. And yet there are other things, let's talk about dancing. You're not allowed to dance. Why are you not allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because you may come to fix musical instruments. Once you begin to dance, you may get carried away and you're going to be misakin klei shir. Or, I'm not even sure remembering all the reasons. Today, we have no problem dancing on Shabbos. Even though it says, Beferish and Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos. You go to a Shev Rochus, you go to an Ufrof, they'll dance around the Chosan, Simchas Torah, they'll dance around the Chosan. Hayilav Simchas Torah. So what is the answer? The answer, today we don't dance. We don't know how to dance anymore. We forgot how to dance. We just go walking in circles is not called dancing. So what? It's still called dancing. Just because things have changed, does that, the halacha changes? And it seems, yeah. So I just gave you some just like really, really raw examples, but there's always this struggle in technology and advancement and society changes is when do we adapt the halacha and when do we say the halacha, it doesn't make a difference, halacha remains no matter whether you understand it or not, it's too big, that's what the halacha is. When you read the Targum and it says chukim mishpatim, it's very interesting. Chukim, he says, is kayomaya, which means it's kayim forever. And then mishpatim are dinim. It almost sounds like the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us two different sets of rules. There are certain things never change. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And then there are certain dinim. Dinim, you know, it depends. There are different societies, different cultures, different times have changed, and the rules of the game are different in society. Okay, so it's interesting that you always find the Torah is defined with these two terms, chukim u'mishpatim. And when you read the Targum says that the chukim refers to kayomayo. Kayomayo means it's kayim lo'ad. It doesn't change. Mishpatim are dinim. Laws change. You know, laws change. The speeding limit changes. Sometimes it used to be 25, 30, 30 miles an hour, and now it's 25 miles an hour. Why? I don't know why. Things change. Things change. There are different reasons why. There are different reasons why society decides that the laws have changed. Alright, but in any event, there's a symmetry over here also. There's chukim mishpatim, and the pasuk goes on to say, kol ha'shartim chayim. You are chayim, the chayim l'chayim. There's a play on the word over here to the word chukim. Let's go to pasuk base. Abe to abdun, you shall obliterate.
Why does the pasuk have to say to us, kol ha'yamim asheratim chayim?
I don't know. We're learning over here, Rashi and Unkelus. I don't know. I can't answer. Yeah, there is. There's obviously something very interesting here. I don't know the answer. Obviously, listen, I can't answer why there are 31 flavors of ice cream in Baskin and Robbins. That's not what the share is. The share is we read Rashi and Unkelus. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk base. Abe to Abdu Miskol HaMakamis, you shall obliterate. Two expressions. Eskol HaMakamis. So this is, here we have over here, a machlekes, a classic machlekes Rashi and Unkelus. Es kol hamakomos. How would you translate those words literally? It means you should go to these locations and you shall obliterate them off the face of the earth. If there's a place where they worship idols, nuke it. And that place will now be a crater. A crater. Nothing will ever be built upon this location. Isn't that the simple translation of the words? Abe to Abdun, you shall obliterate, a double expression, Dibra Tar Kaloshim Neyadam, there's an intensity, it's Kol HaMakomos, all the places, Asher, where, Avdu Sham HaGoyim, where the Goyim, the nations of the world, worship idols, Asher, which, Atem Yershim Oysam, which you are inheriting. Over here we're going to translate the word Yoresh. What does the word Yoresh mean? To inherit. Oysam, you're inheriting them, Es Elohehem. Now, the word es Eloheihem seems to be out of place. And that's part of the problem here. Al heharim, upon the mountains, haramim, the high mountains, the al ha-giva'os, the valleys, the low places, the sachas, beneath kol etzra anan. It's a very complex pasuk, which creates a lot of difficulty. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, pasuk beis, says, abed ta'abdun, abed v'achar kach ta'abdun. Rashi tells us the reason why it says two words in the pasuk is not because it's an expression. Something we have in the Gemara, tells us that many times the Torah is written in a language with expressions that are spoken by the common man. And man has a tendency to repeat himself and to be verbose. So here it says, Abe to Abdun. Rashi says that's not the pshat here. Abed means the two-step process. First, you shall abed, obliterate. The achakach te'abdun, mikan, then you shall be te'abdun. What does that mean? Mikan le'oiker avoy bezor be'eretz Yisrael, tzorich l'shoresh achareha. It's a two-step process. First, you have to remove the actual avodah zarah, the actual idols, and then you have to launch an investigation to understand how this avodah zarah came about, and dig deep into the roots, into the source of the avodah zarah, how it came about. Okay, l'shoresh achareha. Es kol hamakolmos asher avdu shom hagoyim u'mata abdun. So here Rashi comes to explain the words that don't really fit into the pasuk. And Rashi says you have to add some words. It says you shall destroy the mekoymos, es kol hamekoymos asher avdu sham umate abdun. What should you destroy? Mehem es Eloheihem asher al hehorim. Rashi is saying something very important. He's saying that you shall destroy not the places. Not the places. You shall destroy the objects that are in these locations. In other words, if there's a church where they worship idols, demolish the church, and in that church, that earth, you shall make a shul, or you should make a garden, make a school. Don't destroy the physical location. Destroy the objects of avodah zarah that are present in these locations. And how do you know that? Because the word es Eloheihem. So read the pasuk again according to Rashi. Abei ta'abdun. First destroy. Then ta'abdun. Launch an investigation to uncover the roots, the root cause of how this avodah zarah came about to be in this location. Because we don't want it coming back. We don't want this avodah zarah coming back. Es kol hamakomos. Now when it says es kol hamakomos, it's almost as if it means to say, es means min, from. Don't make this location into a crater. Don't drop a nuclear bomb on this location. Leave the location the way it is. Just remove from the location. Asher avdu sham ha-goyim. This location where the goyim are worshipping. Asher atem yershim ha-sam, which you are coming to yershim ha-sam, you're coming to inherit them. You are coming now into the land. You're coming to drive them out and inherit their possessions, these mekoymos. Now you shall, the words es Elohim go back on Abe to Abdun, destroy the idols from these locations, but don't destroy the location itself. And what are these mekoymos? Now we give you examples. The mekoymos can be found al upon Hehorim, the mountains, Horamim, Bial HaGvois, and these mekoymos can be found upon the valleys, and Vesachas beneath Kol Eitz Ra'anam. Now let's look at the Targum. Targum is very different. Targum says Abodo to Abdun. So the Targum doesn't tell us this principle of to be Meshoresh Acharecha. It's not clear. The Targum is many times is very vague. He's not coming to go tell us every Maim Chazal. But the Targum says, Abe Tidah says, Aboda. You have to always remember, the Yisoid of our Shir is, we're not learning Rashi like we learn Rashi in elementary school. In elementary school, they never ever would tell you that Rashi has anything to do with Unkelus. Unkelus does not exist. The only time Unkelus exists if Rashi quotes Unkelus. When we're learning this shir here, we're learning with a whole different approach that everything that Rashi says, we're assuming, we're making a very big assumption that everything that Rashi says is in response to Unkelus. If Unkelus says, Abodot Abdun, that's, and Rashi comments on that, Abed, and then the Achar Kach Te Abdun, Rashi is reacting to Unkelus. Unkelus seems to be saying that this is nothing more than an expression. It's an expression of human beings. Dibra Torah Kilishoin B'nei Adam. The Torah is written the way people speak. People repeat themselves, they're eloquent, they have flair, there's a style of speech which is not precise. It's for the effect. Okay, it's the effect of playing with your mind. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says we're not over here to teach you writing skills and oratory skills. We're here to teach you halacha. Abed to Abdun is repeated to teach you a halacha. Abed v'achar kach to Abdun. He is reacting to the Targum. Next, then he says Rashi to Argat Targum is yos kol asraya. Targum makes it very clear that you should destroy the actual location. It's not sufficient just to destroy the idol from the location. The mokoim avod zara should be obliterated off the face of the earth. It should be turned into a crater that no one goes there. It's radioactive. Chernobyl. Don't go there. Dangerous. Okay, it's a radioactive place. Destroy yos kol asraya diflachu tamon amamaya da'atun your sinyon which you are inheriting yos ta'avoshoin. You shall destroy. Now the difficulty with the Targum is he doesn't really explain the words, the mysterious words es Elohehem. But the Targums, this is the way over here, the Sefer that I'm reading, I'm not telling you my Chidushim here. In the Ma'at, sorry, he tells us that this is the Machlokes Rashi and the Targum. The emphasis of Yos Kol Asraya versus Rashi, who is reacting to the Targum, who says, Rashi says, Umata Avdun, what should you destroy? Don't destroy the place. Mata avdumhem es Elohehem asher al hehorim. If Rashi is reacting to the Targum, that means that Rashi understood the Targum to mean to destroy the place itself. Why should you destroy the place? It's because in this place, es Elohehem, it was a place where they worshipped idols. If they worshipped idols in this place, the earth is contaminated. The earth is radioactive. Melameid shehamokoim goyrein. A mokoim where a person did an avera, there is something about that mokoim that can be harmful for a person. I've done Segel. This is no secret. I've done Segel. I don't know if you ever met him. I haven't seen him in many, many years. He's a very, very holy person. He's a very spooky person. One of the spooky people that are still, we have in this generation, he used to be the Mashkiach in Mirror Yeshiva in Flatbush. Many, many, many years before my time. And people I know, they told me about him. He was very, very influential in Mirror Yeshiva, and then he left. Whatever the reason was, he left, he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he came back, I haven't seen him in years, but he used to come back, and when he came back, he was like invited to speak in different places, and he's a very holy person, and there are a lot of very spooky stories about him. And people
he has a koyach of davening, a very unusual koyach, and people go to him and they ask him, not for brachas, they ask him to please daven for them. And in many times, I've heard stories where people who don't have children, who want to have children, and they ask him for a bracha, whatever. And he goes to their house. He actually comes to their house, and he davens in their house. And he has a certain sensitivity to your home. I can't tell you all the different details, all the different things, but a lot of times he tells people there's something wrong here. There's a problem here. They launch an investigation and they discover very bizarre things. I remember one story where he went, someone asked him, I don't remember the details, he came to their home to daven, and he said there's a lot of kedusha here. There's something very unusual about this place. And they launched an investigation, they discovered that in the backyard, they buried the shemois from Shanghai, from Mir Yeshiva. When Mir Yeshiva fled to Shanghai to escape the Nazis, they spent a very long time, a couple of years, a year, whatever it was, in Shanghai. And they learned it by Hasmoda Rabba. And when they finally left, they left slowly. Not everyone was able to leave, to get a visa to come to America or to go to Eretz Yisrael. They left in different groups, different points of time. And they took with them, you know, their svarim. They took with them, you know, the Sifrei Kodesh, whatever they had. They came, and this family came to America and had in their possession whatever, different sefarim that they used in Shanghai by Hasmoda Rabba during those difficult times. And it was old, they buried it in the backyard. It's shameless. It wasn't like today, you know, they have all these whatever. And he had this sensitivity. He had this unusual sensitivity. Now, this is a Makom Kodesh. I can't remember. There are a lot of stories about this, about Rav Don Segel, that he has this ability to sense sanctity in a Makom. And the Targum, the way the Ma'at Sari explains the Machlokes Rashi and the Targum, if Rashi is saying you shall be destroyed, what shall you destroy? Umata Abdun Mehem, Es Eloheihem. Why is Rashi saying that? Because Rashi is reacting to the Targum. The Targum is saying, no, don't just destroy the Avodah Zarah. Destroy Yos Abodah Te Abdun Yos Kol Asraya. Destroy the Mokoim. The Mokoim has to be destroyed. Because the Mokoim is radioactive. The Mokoim is contaminated. Because in this Mokoim, a person worshipped an idol. So it has an effect. If a person is not going to be able to daven with kavana in this makom, if someone over here once upon a time worshipped an idol, it's going to have an effect. Malamed sha makom goyrin. Obviously, Rashi didn't like that, because maybe you can say that about chutz la'aretz, but who says you can say that about Eretz Yisrael? Well, you're going to go and you're going to destroy the whole land. Every place where once upon a time there was a church, there's never a desire. You're going to drop a nuclear bomb and make it into a crater. You'll have no Eretz Yisrael before you turn around. You can't do that to Eretz Yisrael. You can't go obliterate the whole Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Rashi says, no, only destroy min ha-mokim. Don't actually destroy the mokim, destroy the objects. But the Targum, he doesn't say that. The Targum says, yos kol asraya, the places. And then he doesn't really explain the atun yor sin yosoim. What shall you destroy? Now, it's a little bit vague. What it means, yos ta'avosheim, this is not clear what he means. The idols, al-turaya, ramaya, the high mountains, the al-ramasa, upon the ramasa means the valleys, usichos called ilan aboif. Okay, aboif, now that's a hard word. Aboif means, we always translate it, ra'anan means leafy, the asherah. We don't know what this is all about, but in ancient times, they would worship these asherah trees. And they would put, under trees, they would put idols. And the word for ra'anan, which means a lot of leaves, he translates aboif. What is so interesting is that in Sefer Yecheskel, the Targum Yonah is not the Targum Yonah ben Uziel, but this is how the Targum Yonah ben Uziel translates an eight of voice with the same exact word. There in Sefer Yecheskel it says the word eight of voice, which means a ravos. We call our ravos, and the Targum Yonah ben Uziel says, you know what our ravos are? It's an ilon aboif, which would seem to indicate, which would say that the Asherah is the Arava. Can that really be the Arava? All right, whatever that means. Let's go further. Pasuk Gimel, v'nitatzem yishal demalish. Pasuk Gimel, v'nitatzem yishal demalish es mizvuches in their altars. V'shibardim es matzevoisam. And you shall break apart their matzevois. What's the difference between a matzevo and a mizbech? We'll see in the film of Rashi. Matzevo is a single stone. The Asherehem tishufun bo'esh. So obviously, if it says here in this pasuk the Asherah is not the same thing as what it said in the previous pasuk, the Sachas called Eitz Ra'anan. They would put idols underneath leafy trees, which possibly may refer to the Arava. Underneath the Arava, they would put idols, but they would actually worship a tree called the Asherah tree. I have no idea why. And this Asherah tree shall be burnt in fire. You shall cut down the pesel of their gods. Vibadatem, you shall destroy Eshemam, their name, min hamakoimahu. So we have over here a lot of things that are going on. We have over here the actual es Elohehem. See, if there would have been a new pasuk, if there would have been a new pasuk after Ashatem Yershim Oysam, period, and then we would start a new pasuk, Es Elohehem, I think you would have a lot easier time reading these psukim. Because the pasuk, we go back to pasuk Beis and Gimel. If we were to divide pasuk Beis and Gimel into three psukim, I think we would be able to get some good sleep at night. Because then it would say, Abe et Abdom you shall destroy, Es Kol HaMakoymos. Let's look at the Targum. The Targum says, destroy, number one, the Makoymos. Destroy the location of what? The churches. Abe to Abim is called Makomesh of the Shemagoyim Asher Tem Yerushim Osam. Period. Now, after we destroy these locations, also destroy the idols. Besides the locations that were designated for worship, there were altars, there were idols located all over the world. Destroy now Es Elohehem. The idols, al heharim, haramim, galag ba'ois, v'sachas kleitz ra'anan. And then it would say the next thing to destroy is, v'nitatz demes mizvuchoisam, v'shibartem es matzevoisam, v'ashem tishufun bo'esh, u'fesili Elohim tegadeyun, v'ibartem es shemam min ha'makom ahu. It's describing all the different objects to destroy. The reason why possibly we did not break up pasuk beis into two pasukim is because you cannot have a pasuk that begins with the word es. Just like in English, you cannot have a sentence that begins with the word and. That's you get an F in class if you begin with a sentence in English writing and. So too, you cannot begin the pasuk with the word S. But really, it's a new pasuk. It's a new expression. The problem with that is the Ta'ameh HaMikra. The Ta'ameh HaMikra says here, Yorshim oisam es Elohehem. Mercha tipcha es nachta. Those words go together. So there's something difficult here. That's why Rashi very strongly disagrees with the Targum. Rashi says, when it says es kol hamikoymois, it cannot mean to actually obliterate the mokoim. Because you have to acknowledge the words Yershim Oysam Es Elohehem. Es Elohehem cannot be viewed as a new pasuk, a new sentence, because of the Ta'ameh HaMikra. Mercha Tipcha Es Nachta. So how are you going to connect Es Elohehem back to Abe Ta'abdun? Rashi, Uma Ta'abdun, what shall you destroy? Mayhem. Es Elohehem asher al heharim, but don't destroy the actual location. possibly the Targum Unkelus had a different tradition. Maybe his tradition was that the Ta'ameh HaMikra was not the way it appears here, but there was maybe an Esnachta after Yerushim Oysam. We came to an end. The Ta'ameh HaMikra indicated that it's an end of a phrase. And now Es Eloheihem was a new expression. And that's why the Targum would have the right to say that there are Mikoimois, there are places, physical territory that have to be obliterated. Buildings, locations that have to be obliterated. In addition to obliterating the building, the location, there are also objects that have to be obliterated. And where are these objects to be found? In the open. They're not in buildings. These are not buildings. There are buildings that have to be obliterated. And then there are objects that are just out lying around in the street that have to be obliterated. Some of these objects are on mountains, some of them are on the hills, some of them are underneath eighths of ice. And then there are altars that are found in the streets, and there are matzevos, and there are asherah trees, and there are pesum, there are statues all over the place that have to be chopped down. And you have to obliterate their name. Targum L'Chaira, a lot of what Rashi and the Targum argue about over here is the Ta'ameh HaMikra, how they interact. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi or Pasuk Gimel, Rashi tells...
Excuse me, does yes. It say it can't have... Pasuk cannot say with start with S?
You have an example?
Between the eyes, it's Hashem Elokecha Tiroso Savodu, Vosik Bapu, Vishmoti Shoveya. That's a whole Pasuk.
Maybe you can begin. You're right. Okay, I don't know. But here, the Ta'ameh HaMikra put them together. Your Shim.
That's the pasuk that the Shimon ben Amsuni.
Dash all the S's. Right. S, Hashem Kechatira, all the S's. Now, by the way, we have a Makif. S, Elohehem, that goes together. Okay, I really don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Maybe I made a mistake. Correct. Maybe you can begin. But over here, there's obviously, this is the crux of the issue between Rashi and the Targum, which is going to change the pshat. Rashi's emphasis is don't destroy a mokoim. Destroy the objects.
See, the reason what I have a problem then is how does he translate the pasuk? Ki emel mokom asher, elam mokom asher yivchar Hashem lokechem, we call shifechem.
No, that goes back.
You can't pick the place.
No. So he explains, Rashi, no. So Enochinami, that's going to be another machlokes Rashi and the Targum. We're going to see. Rashi learns that pasuk, paskei emel mokom, goes back on Ibut Shemoi. That instead of, it's not going back on destroying the places, it's going on the baditem es shemam, the shem Hashem. When it comes to the shem Hashem, you shall be mazkir the shem Hashem. We'll see in one moment. Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. Hopefully we'll get in a moment. But in the Chanami, that's going to be another nachum between Rashi and the Tosafot, between Rashi and the Targum. Let's take a look at this Rashi, Pasuk Gimel. First of all, it's a very important Rashi here. Mizbeach is shel avonim harbe. A mizbeach is made from multiple stones. Matseva, but here Rashi says something very, very important. We always think that no, there are natural stones. A natural stone, you never lifted an implement, you never cut it. You just dig with your hands a stone. You dig up. Some stones are massive, and some stones are small. But that's not what a matseva is. A matseva is a stone that has been cut. It's a single stone, but it has been chiseled, has been quarried. It's not... Many people think a matseva means you just take a natural stone. You dig, no matter how big the stone is, and you produce a boulder, a natural boulder. No. Matseva, shel even achas, it's an altar where they offer sacrifice on one stone. Vehi bimois, it's a platform. Sheshenuy b'mishna, even shechotzva mitchilasa lebimois.
The word, right?
Oh, so chotzva means to be quarried. The word chotzva means it was cut. It was originally one stone, but it was chiseled. It was custom made. It was cut down to a precise size, but it's naturally one stone. unlike a mizbeach, which is multiple stones. But it's not a natural stone. A natural stone is another type of avodah. That's a different topic. We do find different types of avodah zarah where we have natural stones. But that's not what I'm saying. This is where you offer sacrifices upon this, and it's upon a single stone, but it has been cut down to a precise size. Asherah, Ilan HaNevad, all of these things obviously are very deep what they represent. This to get a PhD in the philosophy of religion. And after you get the PhD, you can probably come back and explain all these, this pasuk is probably a lot of the yesoides of Avodah Zarah. Is all here. There's a book that's about Rabbi Klein. His name is Rabbi Klein. God versus Gods. He published the first of a 2-volume work to explain in depth, based upon Chazal, all the different types of Avodah Zarah that we find in Tanakh and what the uniqueness of what each one represents. A very dangerous topic. And he published so far just the first volume, which was really an introduction to the second volume, which has not yet been published. And that will probably be very interesting to see how he breaks up the theology of all these different items that I mentioned here in this pasuk. Okay, next, the Bab Temesh. Now here is a very important Rashi. And here's where Rashi is going to come to differ with the Targum, and where it's going to, this goes forwards and backwards. The Bab Temesh Shemam, L'chanois lohem shem l'ginai. Rashi learns the Barat HaMeshem does not mean, like we would think it means, to don't say it. Don't let that word come out of your mouth. Don't say the word Yoshka. Don't say it. Say the Barat HaMeshem. It has to be obliterated. It's like a Molech. Timche Ezecher Amalek. That's a difference. Timcha Ezecher Amalek, Chazal there said that their name should not even be mentioned. It does not say that about Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, it says, V'ibadetem Eshemam. Amalek, you have to contrast the difference between Amalek and Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is a principle called Ibud Shemoy. Amalek, there is Timcha Eshemam. What's the difference? Don't even say it. It shouldn't even be on record. Avodah Zarah, yes. Avodah Zarah, according to Rashi, Rashi says it's not timche, it's not eradication. He says something that is really shocking. It's very surprising what Rashi says. L'chanois lohem shem l'ginai. To nickname their idols with a derogatory expression. For example, there was a famous world-class idol called, or church called, the Beis Galia. The cathedral, who knows, you know, of Saint Petersburg, whatever, who knows, whatever it was. Big cathedral, and it was called Beis Galia, which literally means the place of revelation. The place of revelation, Mecca, whatever you want to call it. So the mitzvah is, instead of calling it the place of revelation, you call it Koren Lo Beis Karya, the place of the pit, the graveyard. The graveyard. Change its name. Change, remember, not like Amalek. Amalek is Timche. No Zecher. Erase it. Avodah Zarah? No, I want you to remember Avodah Zarah. I want you to know there's something called an idolatry, but I want you to make leitzonis. Kol leitzenusa asira lebam bileitzenusa the Avodah Zarah. I know a person who went for a proba to the rabbi in a shul in this neighborhood, and he spoke Friday night, and he spoke about this principle, and he didn't get the job because they didn't like what he said. The socialists, they didn't understand what he was saying. He was talking about leitzonos, mockery, and he said in his drasha, kol leitzenusa asira lebar mi leitzenusa de avoidas kechaven. It is forbidden in this world to belittle anything except for idols. Idols, you can mock them. you instead of calling them the Beiskalia, you call it the graveyard. Talk about Avodah Zarah, it goes to the bathroom. The Avodah Zarah is in the toilet, squatting. That is permitted. The audience didn't really understand what he was saying, and they didn't like it. And they didn't call him back for another shot because that part of his drasha, for whatever reason, did not come off well. He didn't explain what he was trying to say, unfortunately. But here it says, L'shem Ginai Beiskalia Koin La Beiskaria. Eitz Ein Kol. There was another article called Ein Kol. The eye of all, you call it Ein Koitz. The thorn. The thorny eye. Leitz on this. And by the way, you know, in the Kinois, okay, in the Kinois, this was not known until recently, in the Kinois of the First Crusade, Hacharishu Alai. The first of there are four kinos on Tisha B'Av that discuss the First Crusade. In the first kino, it says that the Crusaders, their mission was to go and redeem the Shucha. And I don't remember all the details anymore. But if you look in the article translation, it doesn't. They translate in a very strange way what it means, how they translate this whole expression. And there was a person who was written up very well on the Sfarim blog. It's a very high level blog, intellectual, a lot of very choshva things they publish on that blog. And this is many, many years ago, and they took note that all of the translators of this kina have no clue what that expression meant. And they were totally off the mark when they translated that expression in the first kina. What it means, the word shucha, the first crusade is in regard to the shucha. And the person who wrote this article, which I don't know who he was, he did a lot of research, and he explained the shucha literally means a pit. And the word shucha was a fulfillment of what Rashi here on this pasuk says, ibadat hamesh shamam. The crusaders claimed that they were going to liberate the church of the Holy Sepulchre. A sepulchre is basically a pit, a burial crypt. Who's buried there? Well, they believe Yashka, their Avodah Zarah. So it was called then the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Chazal, who wrote this kina, in fact, who wrote this kina? Probably Rashi. Rashi's Bezdin. Rashi, in fact, himself wrote one of the kinas, which was Slicha, that we say, I think, Erev Rosh Hashanah. There's a Slicha about the first crusade that Rashi himself wrote. The Av Harachamim that we say in Shabbos morning was written by Rashi's Bezdin. So Rashi had a lot of influence over the kinas that were written at this Tekufa. And there they wrote, there in that kina that we say on Tisha B'Av, it says that the crusaders traveled 3,000 miles, or even more, whatever it was, 3,000 miles to liberate the church of the Holy Sepulchre. And the way Chazal referred to this church was the Shucha, the pit. The pit. It was like a derogatory statement to make leitzonis of Christianity and their idol who they worship. Exactly what Rashi says over here. Ibadetem eshemon. They have an idol and they call it the great revelation. We call it the great graveyard. The base Beiskalia? We call it the base Karya. Karya means a pit. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the Kina is called the Shucha, the pit, a garbage dump. Okay, could you imagine that? Wait until the Christians see the Kinois, they get a hold of that. They'll really, really go crazy. Ein Kol, that's how Rashi learns. Okay, Mamish out of time. So let's look a little very quickly at the Targum over here. The Targum says, Pasagimul, Usisor Unyos a gorehon, which is like yushal usasar un, means I guess to smash. A gorehon. Okay, all of these words over here are very powerful words. They're mizbechos usasabrun yos komoshoin bematzevos. The asherehon. I just wanted one thing, one little last thing. The asherehon take dun yushal burn binura. The tzalme and the images tavoshoin tikatzun. Now here's the part, which is the last thing, is just this last part. Even though the other parts have very, very a lot of heavyweight things, the sabdun yoshoim hoin, you shall destroy their name min asra hahu. The targum doesn't look like Rashi. Targum says the sabdun, it means to destroy. He doesn't say to change their name. Another fundamental difference between Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi says the avodah zarah. Will all the zecher avodah zarah will always remain. The only difference is it's going to be a source of leitzanus, a mockery. Targum doesn't say that. Targum was a no-nonsense person. He says obliteration. What then is the difference between a molek and avodah zarah? I don't know. We have to go see the nuances between the word timcha, how he translates timcha as zecher amolek, versus how he translates ta'abdun es Elohim. Is this sabdun yos shoim hoin? Destroy their name. Doesn't say change their name. Rashi is always reacting to the Targum. He says destroy their name. Min asra hahu, from that place. So we take away today, and really the next pasuk really goes further in this idea, is a Targum is a fundamentalist. Unkelus is mamish a fundamentalist. There are places, there are buildings where they worship idols. Don't buy a church and make it into a shul. Level it. Rubble. Obliterate it. Okay, I don't know. Can you go rebuild? Knock it? No. This mokoyim, the stones, this, obliterate it. Rashi, no. You don't have to obliterate it. That's obliterate. Just take out the idols from inside the smokon and then go and move in and make it into a yeshiva. Okay? The name of Avodah Zarah. Targum? Obliteration. Avodah Zarah, there's no such thing as Avodah Zarah. Obliteration. He's an extremist. Uncle, this is mamish, a fundamentalist. Rashi? No, I don't have to destroy. No. Avodah Zarah. Just change the letters. Make litzanus of the avodah zarah. You don't have to obliterate it. It's a very different approach. A very different approach to dealing with...
Maybe because he was a ger.
That's right. Exactly. You're saying very good. He was reacting...
And Zeal was a Jew.
He's the obviously uncle-less. He's saying something very, very important. How could it be... Well, it's a little bit difficult because uncle-less... Chazal tell us he was not the one who made the Targum.
No, this is the Uncle.
Right. Uncle is the Targum. Chazal say it came from it's Mesoira, Har Sinai, and Uncle is he was a ger, and he went and he restored it. It was forgotten. He restored it, but you can't ignore the fact that he was a ger, and his background had influence on what he did. Because Rashi doesn't go to these extremes. Rashi is much more gentle in dealing with these issues. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you for joining me. Have a good night. Mir Hashem tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the Sidur. Mir Hashem tomorrow will be the Sidur.
But there was no Christianity yet. There was just these crazy...
Unkelus, right. Rashi, absolutely right. But certainly Unkelus during the Romans, I mean, the roots were already there. It was just a different form. I don't know. Listen, we don't really know. A lot of it is a mystery to us. We don't really know what was going on. But there were always idols. Look what it says here in the pasuk. I mean everything. You know, as more things change, the more they stay the same.
This Sifsei Chachamim, he has a problem. In other words, he's trying to explain Rashi how he says you. You can't ignore Kiyam Alamokom, Asher, you know, how do you translate that? So he says, like what you said already, but in Bedeichik, he's sort of like trying to explain Rashi,
that, or else how do you say he's gonna, you know, I'm gonna choose the place because you can't, you know, I don't want a place that's a mokum tuma.
Rashi seems to say, Abed es kol hamakoymai. So here in the Ma'atzah is translate the word es as if it says min. Abed ta'abdun min kol hamakoymai. The word es means from these locations. How do you know it has to be from? Because it says the words es eloi heihem. And the ta'ame hamikra tell us that es eloi heihem is part of this expression. If you were
so
to,
it says it's going back. You wait till you stay. Take a look. It's a long.
Right, I don't have the my dish. I don't have the funny one. Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's going back on the idols itself. Right.
But the Targum seems to say that the words es Eloheihem is the beginning of a new sentence, and if that's the case, that's why you have the right to say Abe Ta Abdun means obliteration of the Mokum Mamish, the Mokum itself.
Yeah, well, that's what the Abarbanel says, and I'm sure other people go along with it. Probably the Radak the same thing, because they agree most of the time. Yeah.
This is Machlaikis. It's amazing. Yeah. It's really, really amazing. You see over and over how there's a conversation between Rashi and Unkelus. What I learned Chumash and Yeshiva, we never did this. We look like you guys have tests. The highest of men, we have tests on Rashi. Rashi is Mamish, the Ikush Shabekar. But never did I appreciate how Mamish, every word of Rashi, is just a response. Rashi is not
just like all the other Rishonim are reaction to Rashi.
Right. Rashi is reacting to Ungulus. It's like clear as day. Like every word that Rashi says, he's just coming to respond. You tell me this, I disagree. It can't be that. And the more you look at the two very carefully, the more you see Rashi is not just speaking in a vacuum. He's responding to very specific points. And the themes of Rashi and the Unkelus continue on throughout the whole Parsha, throughout Psukim, and throughout the whole Chumash. There are certain concepts which always come back and interconnect with one another. All right.
Yeah, this morning it was very good where you're saying that like Amram was miayish already for what he did when his pirish meish, though it was like he represented
the old generation.
The Abarbanel said they had to make a family decision what to do with the baby after 3 months. Whether they would get caught with the baby, then they would all get killed. And Miriam was upset. But they chose one to lose one instead of the whole family. Maybe this was, they were playing a numbers game.
Yeah.
And that's why she ran after, because she couldn't stomach the whole idea. She was willing to be mice and epish. Alright. Whatever, but it's a very interesting thought. In my head. The end of, I have to read over, because somebody asked me a question in my Shia Sunday morning, that, about Moshe, you know, about the differences in his nevuah, because the problem is, and there's a very long Abarbanel at the end of in Zos HaBrocha, in terms of, you get the impression, oh, I know why, because a lot of things that say, what is the reason, what is Eliyahu's role? And the Gemara at the end of Kedushin, I told him, has a whole thing. It's going to tell us not to be Mataritz Kushis Babayis, it's to tell you where you came from, if you're a Jew or not a Jew. So we have Teiku in the Gemara over Dine Mominus. You know,
Teiku, you should know. Teiku does not, this, I want you to read up on this. Teiku, this is a new thing. It doesn't say anywhere, in any early source that Teiku means Tishbi Yitaretz Kushis Yavayas.
Oh, good. So that's just a...
That's a new thing. Teiku literally means the question shall stand. And what the Gemara means is we have a dilemma. Both sides of the dilemma are emes la'amitai. And we don't want an answer. Adarava. The Olam says, oh, how could it be there's no answer? Mashiach will come, will give an answer. Just the opposite. We don't want an answer. Both arguments are so correct. The question shall remain. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim.
So my point, I hear you, and I'm glad you told me this, because that, I mean, yes, that I like it. I mean, it's good. It answers the thought process. But then why do so many, where did it come from?
It's a new thing. Idea. It's a, this thing is a very recent thing.
Questions, you know, Elio will answer. The Gemara is very blunt about that's not what Elio was for. It's the end of Kedush, right? The last parrot.
This is a new invention. It probably comes from depression. It comes from Shabsai Tzvi. It comes from despair. We need answers. We have a lot of difficulties. So oh, Mashiach will come, Mashiach will come, Mashiach will solve all of our problems. This Rosh Tevos, there's no sword. This like probably came into existence 300-400 years ago. Someone invented, or Tishbi stands, or Teku stands for Tishbi Yatari, it's Kushas V'Yabayis.
Oh, so somebody made it up.
Right. And it became extremely popular. But that's not what it means in the Gemara. The word Teku means let the question stand. We don't want an answer. Because both sides of the dilemma have so much truth to it. The whole purpose of the Gemara is to be Mavar the Emes. It's Emes. They're both Emes. So Adarabba, that's part of the beauty of Torah. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Be'shamai be'silal. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Adarabba, each one is correct. There's lois of skoy to do. We learned today, you know, you can't go and have every, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But there are different strokes for different folks. Teku.
Maybe it starts with the end of the last pasuk in Malachi. You know what it says, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, but, you know, at the end, I'm going to have to send you Eliyahu HaNavi. So that's, I gathered, I mean, that would be my first reaction. But, all right. But, you know, because your thought process is, why not say Moshe? Yeah. But he gets into a whole thing, the difference between Moshe and Eliyahu, because you get from reading all the stories, you almost get the feeling that Eliyahu was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu in some ways. It gives you that impression.
Just well, Moshe said that. Shlach na b'yatishlach. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shlach na sen Elio. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Onov mikol adam. What should I on mikol adam? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning, he said, Shlach na b'yatishlach. Send Eliyahu, not me. When he went to Shemayim, he saw that.
I want to close not this way. Just close it.
When he saw Rabbi Akiva, what did he say to Rabbi Akiva?
Right. Yeah, that's
so true. Moshe was,
yeah,
it was always,
he said, let him do it.
Yoshua, Moshe said, let me go into Eretz Yisrael and Yoshua will be the manik. I'll retire. I'll go to an old age home and let Yoshua be the manik. Moshe Rabbeinu was on of Moed Mikol HaAdam because he was always willing to give over his job to someone else. He was willing to give it to Yoshua. He wanted Aaron. Why send me?
You know, that's a drash. You know why that drash comes from? The Avraham Benel explains that Medrash. He says, because it says, Lochein lo saviu es amazeh. You only said to me, you're not going to bring them into the land. You didn't say, I won't go.
But he was willing to Gemara, to Medrash.
That's what he says. He said that's what Moshe Rabbeinu's taina was, that since he let him be there for the, God Menashe, Reuven God, and that's considered Eretz Yisrael. So, okay, listen, I got to, he let me do it. Maybe this is now part of Eretz Yisrael, and I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe the Gzeira was changed, and he only said to me, Lachem Osovi Wesomazeh, so that Yoshua is going to be demonic, that's good. So I'm willing to go in as a pasha to eat, So that's the way he explains it. He darshens the words.
It's very good. Right.